There's irony with hearing from the prophet Micah today, I think, positioned as we all are in the throes of a trial to end all trials. It's kind of too bad this passage wasn't read at the opening proceedings. God has instigated a lawsuit. The bailiff, the prophet Micah, has issued the summons. Hear ye, hear ye. There's an announcement of the judges from him, and the plaintiff, God, itemizes the benefits God has conferred on the defendant, Israel. And then God specifies the charges against the defendant, saying, "What have I done that you have tired of me?" As God itemizes God's benefits to the people, he reminds the Israelites what God has done for them, freed them from slavery from Egypt through the Exodus, parting the Red Sea, giving them Moses and Aaron and Miriam, thwarting King Moab when King Moab enlisted the seer Balaam to pronounce a curse on Israel. And by God's agency, Balaam instead pronounced a blessing on Israel, and not just one, but four. God parted the waters of the Jordan, making a way for the people to finally enter their promised land. The defendant, though, counters with questions that imply or proclaim their innocence. Have we not offered burnt offerings as required? What should we bring? Would 1,000 rams suffice? Would 10,000 rivers of oil? Do you want our firstborn? Do you hear the sarcasm here? The arrogance? The rudeness? They know the answer to all of these questions. Here we would expect the plaintiff to answer or the judges to pronounce a verdict, but neither happens. Neither speak. God, through the prophet, chooses to make this a teachable moment. Those of you who have been in education have heard that phrase, haven't you? And maybe some of us who have been in school have as well. We've got a teachable moment, my son. First, Micah addresses all of humanity by saying, "Hear, O mortal." Why does he use that word, do you think? To remind them of their mortality, that the life they have is given by the eternal God. We'll be celebrating Ash Wednesday soon. Remember, you come from dust, and to dust you shall return. O mortal. But it's also a signification that what will be said next will apply to all and for the good of all people of all time. This includes us. O humanity, what does the Lord require of you? The prophet speaks, and then he answers on behalf of God. Justice, kindness, humility. But note that each of these is linked to an active verb. Do justice. Do it. Love kindness. Love kindness. More than retribution, more than meanness, more than reaching or reactions. Love kindness. And walk humbly. This requirement extends beyond personal piety to the community. Micah has spoken the word of God to all people. This is start to finish communal. These all speak of reciprocity, don't you understand? One with another and all with God. Doing justice is a communal act. And effect. Loving kindness is the same, and walking humbly as well. God calls all of humanity to be marked by acts of justice, devotion to kindness, and the posture of humility. Instead of a judgment announcing punishment for their sarcasm and their weariness of God, God offers a path for redemption instead. Sandy talked about hope as she opened the service today. This is our hope. God always offers redemption. But notice, there's another party in the courtroom, isn't there? Who are the judges the bailiff has beckoned? The mountains, the hills, the foundations of the earth. That phrase might echo in your mind, those of you who have read the book of Job, when God finally chooses to answer Job after Job has been taking God to court, saying, "Why have you done all these nasty things to me when I was so righteous? I deserve better. You promised I would be prosperous if I did what you wanted." And that whole story is to teach us that that is not the equation in God's economy. But at the end, when God speaks back to Moses, it's one of the most beautiful passages of poetry in all of the Bible, where God says, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth?" The created world is asked to judge all mortals. Is this simply hyperbolic imagery of an overexcited poet? I don't think so. For what do we know now as people on this side of climate change? We recognize that the hubris or arrogance of humankind, or our failure to be just, our abandonment of kindness, has resulted in greed and self-seeking policies and contentiousness, violence, a might makes right obsession with power. And it's not just between people that these things unfold and do harm. It is to the earth that it does harm. A scorched earth kind of contemptuous arrogance. This text could plummet us into despair if it were not for the remedy it offers. And what is that remedy? Doing that which is just and right. Choosing every time the debate is in our brain to choose kindness. It doesn't mean we roll over dead and let people walk over us. That's not what what's in there. It's the idea of offering mercy, being kind. You can be firm and still be kind. You can speak with respect. We're putting it another way, seeking the welfare of the other, no matter what we think of them or what they've done to us. Choose kindness. And recognize our profound need for God. We think of these things usually again in the relational realm, but we should apply them, should we not, to how we look at and treat the earth as well, to do justice by it, to be kind to it and all other beings, and to be humble in the face of it. There are individuals who do justice. There are those who are kind and humble, be they Christians or not. But this kind of justice, this kind of kindness, this kind of humility is to be communal, an effort and commitment undertaking by the people of God, empowered by the grace and agency of God, all of God's people, all who call Yahweh God, Allah God, all who turn their hearts and devotion to that other that calls us by our name. This is radical and this is cosmic. And it begins with one committed mortal doing the just thing, the right thing, choosing to be kind and refuting meanness, living each moment knowing we are in need of God's mercy. And locking arms with kindred doing the same. We won't see an immediate change in the fires that break across our lands. We won't see the waters calming when a hurricane breaks on the shore. Nevertheless, we live into this. And we trust God, our Maker, who laid the foundations of the world, to take us where God wants us to go. Can we be that radical, that trusting, that filled with hope? May it be so. So we're going to repeat the